from UALR Public Radio and the Argenta Arts Foundation. This is a Tales from the South tin roof project.
My loft was the top of a 10 by 20 metal storage building my parents had to keep all our junk, stuff, so we didn't look like Sanford and Son.
Recorded in front of a live audience at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas.
I had climbed up the rickety ladder to my city home with four baby dolls under one arm and their furniture under the other in my sequins and high heels. And thank goodness I had on that fancy dress, because that tail was so long I could pull it up and make a little basket, and we put all those puppies in there so I could walk them back to the house.
This week, it's an intimate dinner with a notable Southerner on our unrehearsed show, telling their story as if they were sitting on the porch with you.
I will also never forget naming all seven of those puppies. There was Lady, she was blonde and gorgeous. Annie, a cute, cuddly black furball. Rocky, he was a fighter. And Junior, his chunky twin brother who loved to eat.
So sit back, relax, and reconnect with the power of a story. Now, let's go live to Tales from the South and our musical guest for the evening, Audrey Dean Kelly.
Next song I wrote kind of tells a story of when I was 18. I moved away to Los Angeles to go to Occidental College and left somebody behind. And this song's kind of about young lost love and reminiscing on that kind of stuff. So I hope you guys like it. It's called San Francisco.
Everything was different, everything was changing. Had the world on my feet after high school graduation. Underwater oranges, sandcastles in the sky. Forgot you, but
How's everybody doing tonight? So how about tonight's music by Audrey Dean Kelly? Do y'all like Audrey? Originally from North Little Rock, singer-songwriter Audrey Dean Kelly recently moved back down south after living in Los Angeles for 5 years. Her first album, Super Ego, has been gathering praise and fans, as she is currently working on a second album. She recently performed in Nashville at the Oxford Americans, Mary Steenburgen, and Friends in the Round. Audrey has been called a rare talent for her Americana, pop, and blues sound. You can hear more from Audrey at ReverbNation.com. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to a very special edition of Tales from the South, a monthly series we call the Tin Roof Project, where well-known Southerners bring their own true stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Morell. On my left here, strumming his 1931 National Resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Mark has recorded with John Weston and Duke Joint Boys, David Kimbrough Jr., Kenny Kimbrough, Eric Deaton, and Mark. He was featured performing at the King Biscuit Blues Festival held in Helena, Arkansas, in Blues in the Delta, a documentary by Jack Hill. He has appeared on Beale Street Caravan Radio Show, as well as the King Biscuit Radio Show on KFFA. Mark's guitar playing on the CD, Blues at Daybreak, was reviewed in Living Blues and described as shimmering slide, stinging slide guitar pattern in the style of vintage-era Muddy Waters. He toured with the late bluesman Willie Foster out of Greenville, Mississippi, and was a featured house guitarist at the late bluesman Junior Kimbrough's Juke Joint in Tullahoma, Mississippi. Mark wrote our theme music and plays for us live each week. Mark Simpson. And how about our set back here? Y'all like our set? These genuine screen doors from the Arkansas Delta with mixed media portraiture are by esteemed Arkansas artist V.L. Cox from her Images of the American South collection. A portion of the proceeds from the sale of these works goes to Tales from the South. More can be seen at her website, greatfineart.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern style storytelling? Selected as one of Traditional Home's top 20 young designers in America, Toby Fairley's projects have spanned the southern region and the nation from Charleston to Los Angeles. Her award-winning designs for high-profile and celebrity clients have been featured on HGTV, have been published on the cover of House Beautiful, and in Traditional Home, Better Homes and Gardens Special Publications, Southern Living, and have graced the cover of At Home in Arkansas magazine 9 times. Traditional Home magazine predicts Toby will be like Cher or Oprah, one of those women for whom one name says it all. Toby's design blog is currently read in more than 124 countries worldwide. It has been featured on several of the world's most popular design blogs, including All the Best, Coco and Kelly, and was named as a favorite blog on HGTV.com. Toby also writes a monthly design column for AY Magazine, a regular blog column for At Home in Arkansas magazine, and is a regular contributor to Williams-Sonoma's Designer Marketplace. In 2010, Toby introduced her DIY design service, Inbox Interiors, and launched her popular design camps. A Hampton, Arkansas native, Toby Fairley holds degrees in interior design and accounting and an MBA from the prestigious Sam M. Walton College of Business. She, her husband, and their daughter live in Little Rock. Tonight, Toby takes us back to her childhood city home in South Arkansas in From the Hampton to the Hamptons. Ladies and gentlemen, Toby Fairley.
It It was the summer of 1980. I was 8 years old, and I was minding my own business, being a homemaker in my high-rise loft in Hampton. No, not the Hamptons. Hampton, Arkansas. You know the one, that wide spot in the road between Fort Ice and El Dorado? Yeah, that was the one. The one that's home to the Bulldog Drive-In and a bunch of coon dogs and Bobby Lee's gas station. My loft was the top of a 10 by 20 metal storage building my parents had to keep all our junk, stuff, so we didn't look like Sanford and Son. I had climbed up the rickety ladder to my city home with four baby dolls, naked, of course, under one arm, and their furniture under the other, in my sequins and high heels. Now, you know, if a girl can climb a ladder in high heels, there's not much she can't do. So I got to the top of my loft, and I was setting up my home away from home, and boy, did I feel chic, thank you very much. And suddenly, there was a loud ruckus. It was a gunshot, in fact. And from my bird's eye view, well, you know I was 10 feet up in the air. So from that view, I looked across the street to my very best friend in the entire world, David Neal's backyard, and that's when I saw him. The kids were playing football, and there he was, the town dog catcher, Lamar Duncan. And he was taking aim at a stray dog right in the midst of all the neighborhood kids. Well, first, let me say, I've always had a flair for the finer things in life, being a domestic diva and overreacting. Even as a little girl, I strive to be the perfect homemaker, cook, and seamstress. Today, I like to think of myself as part Coco Chanel, part June Cleaver, and part Marianne from Gilligan's Island. As a kid, that conglomeration came out sort of like what my daughter today would think of as Fancy Nancy. I had been christened Toby Lamar Wells. Not a very fancy name for such a fancy little girl. Toby was cute, I thought, sort of short like Coco. But Lamar, it was never my favorite. Lamar, who names their daughter Lamar? But I was stuck with it, as it's not only my middle name, but my dad's and his mom's and her dad's. It's a good, solid name with family heritage, or so my dad thought. Well, at least the women have two R's at the end of their name, Lamar, so it made it a bit more fancy. I worked hard to overcome this not-so-fancy name in a number of ways. For example, I was prone to putting on my mom's rust-colored, sequined, spaghetti strap ball gown and a pair of her high-heel shoes on a daily basis to venture out in the front yard for some fun. Some days I would even ride my bike, trying not to get that dang dress caught in the wheels. My mom always said it's painful to be beautiful, and she was not kidding. When I got that dress caught in those wheels, woo! Now, being a mini domestic diva, my favorite pastime was creating several residences for my pretend family. First, I had my gorgeous mansion built right in our front yard. This mansion was constructed by me raking pine straw into walls that were about 6 inches wide by 4 inches high, and I would make the whole house like that, all the rooms, just like I construct a floor plan today. And then I would cart out all of my belongings, like a whole slew of naked baby dolls with their hair cut off and mangled from some beauty project gone awry. And I would take out all of their bed and their clothes. I don't know why I brought their clothes. They never had any on. They were always naked. And then I would go into mom's kitchen and I would cart out a whole host of pots and pans and spoons. I would get real flour and real eggs and real biscuits in the can to make meals for my family. I usually had some special ingredients like dirt and grass. I'd try to feed them to the neighborhood kids. Yum. Now, my little homestead must have looked like Sanford and Son to the neighbors. The only thing missing was that I didn't have my big wheel up on cinder blocks and there weren't several dogs running around like a good redneck property should have. But however country my mansion appeared, I would become Susie Homemaker right there on Olive Street in Hampton for the whole world to see. Now, when I started feeling a little Coco Chanel, that's when I would venture to my city home, The Loft, as I lovingly refer to it now, 10 feet up on corrugated steel. And that's exactly where I was when I heard the gunshot and caught sight of the dog catcher, Lamar. No relation. Same overreacting tendencies. And he was aiming a shotgun at that poor dog. utterly shocked and amazed. It's a wonder I didn't fall off the loft right then and there. But instead, I hurried down the ladder in my sequins and high heels, grabbed my mom, and hurried across the street where I knew my brother was playing ball and those gunshots had rung out. Now, you have never seen Mad until you've seen my mom, the self-professed mother hen who would never let children in harm's way. Well, except, of course, she let me ride my bike in that ball gown with the sequins that time. Well, and then there was the time she let me wear 3-inch heels to my elementary school graduation. I'm surprised I didn't break my neck. But she was really a good mother, and she was after that dog catcher for shooting a gun. Woo, she was mad. For goodness sakes, he was shooting it around children, and not to mention that poor, helpless animal. And to make it worse, the dog was pregnant. And she was hit by a bullet from Lamar's gun. So there she went running into the woods. Now this is where it gets really exciting. After giving Lamar a piece of her mind, my mom made a beeline into the woods after that dog. And there were about 15 kids in tow, including me, in sequins and high heels. I mean, you never know when a girl might get invited to a party, so you need to be ready. And I was ready, and we were going after a wounded dog in the woods. And we found her, all right. We found her nestled deep in a thicket of brush, giving birth to puppies. 7 puppies, to be exact. Well, one, the runt, she had been born on the way while the dog was running to the thicket. And we rescued that little tiny black and tan pup on our way by. Now, this is as much excitement that had hit Hampton, Arkansas, in all of my 8 years. I mean, other than driving to the Bulldog for a frosted Coke in sequins and high heels, there wasn't that much going on there on a summer's day. But this, my friends, this was news. And the best news of all is that we now had a new mama dog and 7, count them, 7 puppies to raise. And yes, mom's a sucker for a stray dog, thank goodness. And thank goodness I had on that fancy dress, the spaghetti strap with the sequins and the long tail that day, because that tail was so long I could pull it up and make a little basket, and we put all those puppies in there so I could walk them back to the house. And I can't really remember how mom managed to get the mama dog out of the thicket. You know, that mama dog, she was later to be dubbed Buckshot by the neighborhood kids for obvious reasons. I preferred to call her Bucky. It was a little more chic, kind of like Toby. But out of the thicket, we got her and into the car, and we drove her to El Dorado to the vet to remove the bullet and clean her up. And, you know, I don't really remember that, but I will never forget riding in the back seat of our royal blue LTD with the white top with all 7 puppies in my lap. And no, this one time I didn't have on my sequins and high heels because mom didn't want the vet to think I was weird or something. But I will also never forget naming all 7 of those puppies. There was Lady, she was blonde and gorgeous. Annie, a cute, cuddly black furball. Her lookalike, Honey, who had a little honey-colored tip on her tail. Rocky, he was a fighter. And Junior, his chunky twin brother who loved to eat. And Coco, yes, Coco, except he was a he. And he was Coco because he was brown. I had no idea I was naming him after my future fashion icon, but it's sort of fitting, don't you think? And then there was Pumpkin, or to me, Punkin, the precious little runt who was born too soon. And I took my little Pumpkin, the runt, straight to my pine straw house and raised her as my own with one of my baby doll bottles full of milk. And she slept soundly in a cardboard box on a hot water bottle covered in one of my ragged old doll blankets. And I ran my little manicured fingers through her soft fur. And she didn't think a thing about me wearing sequins or high heels. She loved me just the same. And she was perfect. And she was all mine. And though I didn't know it then, but I now know, she played just a small part in my life from Hampton to the Hamptons.
Thank you. All right, so thank you so much, Toby Fairley, for being on Tales from the South. So you say in your story that Hampton, Arkansas is home to the Bulldog Drive-In, mm-hmm. a bunch of coon dogs, mm-hmm. and Bobby Lee's gas station.
Right.
Are they all still there?
They are, actually.
The bulldog? The coon dogs?
They are. They're all there. The bulldog got a facelift a few years back.
Okay. All right.
But you can still wear your sequins over for a Frosted Coke if you want to.
And Bobby Lee's?
Oh, he's still there right in the middle of town. It's at the four-way stop. All of y'all who drive through there on the way to somewhere else, because no one ever really stops there, you drive right by Bobby Lee's.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. About your city home, the loft. It was 10 foot up on corrugated steel, and that sounds mighty hot. How in the world did you handle South Arkansas summers up there?
Well, I wore those spaghetti straps so I wouldn't get hot. And I could get a good tan, too, while I was there. So it wasn't too bad.
You allude to wearing your 3-inch heels to your elementary graduation. You just kind of touch on that. I'm intrigued.
I actually really did. And as you can probably tell, those of you who know me, I don't like to take no for an answer. So I think my mom, in her defense, actually did try to plead with me to not wear them, but I was hearing nothing of it. So later on, after embarrassingly looking at the pictures, I said, "Mom, why did you let me do that?" She was like, "You were wearing them. You wore them." So I did.
You say in your story, "Today I like to think of myself as part Coco Chanel, part June Cleaver, and part Marianne from Gilligan's Island." As a kid, that conglomeration sort of came out looking like what my daughter would now know as Fancy Nancy. And those of y'all with daughters know who that is. Has your daughter followed in your footsteps?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
She's very much the diva. She's been at my office working this week. She set up her whole cubicle. She has the high heel shoe tape dispenser and everything. And a couple of days ago, I was bragging on her. I said, "Allison, you smell so good. Is that your new Hello Kitty body wash that we bought?" And she's like, "No, Mama." I said, "Well, what is it?" And she goes, "It's that cologne that was in the guest bedroom, the one with the two C's on it and the silver cap." And I said, "You're wearing Chanel perfume?" She said, "I guess so." She loved it. Yeah, so she's a little diva at heart, too.
And she's 8?
She's
right?
7.
She's 7.
So almost the same age I was writing this story. So okay. And she's definitely prone to wearing high heels.
And does she know this story that you read?
Well, she knows a little bit about it. I told her I'd read it all to her as her bedtime story when I got home tonight. But when I start telling it, she's not as good of an audience as y'all. She's like, "Now get to the good part, Mom. I've heard all this stuff before. Keep moving." So not quite as patient. They're used to the, you know, video games and SpongeBob. But she's heard it before, yes.
Oh, good, good. All right, well, we have a few minutes here at the end for audience questions.
I thought that you had Benton was where you...
We're from. You thought I was from Benton. Well, that's kind of a long story. You know, every story in Arkansas is a long story. But yes, the first half of my childhood was in Hampton. The second half was in Sheridan, which is where my parents are from, which kind of got me a little closer to Benton, where I had a store one time. And then I got to Little Rock. And in the program, it said I moved back to Sheridan. So everybody was like, "When did you move to Sheridan?" So I could just claim all of those places. But yes, I was at one point sort of related to Benton.
I've got a friend or two from Hampton, Ron Oliver, and some other folks.
Yes, I know Ron.
I wanted to know, how good are the milkshakes at the Bulldog Inn?
Well, they're actually really good. My preference was the Frosted Coke. You know, it's kind of like a Coke float, but they blend it together with the milkshake machine, so it's the perfect combination of Coke and ice cream. But I think their milkshakes are pretty good, too. I was always a fan of vanilla, but they have a slew of other flavors. So stop on your way through the next time.
I think you would probably be one of the best people to ask, what's the difference between Northern women and Southern women?
Oh, Northern women versus Southern women. There's a whole slew of things, but number one, it's we Southern women always wear our lipstick. And when I was sitting next to Mom before I came up here, I was like, "Well, I'm ready to go." And she goes, "No, you're not. You don't have on your lipstick." So I had to get it on before. And I'm 40, and she still gives me that kind of good advice, so I look good everywhere I go. But definitely the lipstick, and we might be a little bossier, but with a smile, than the Northern women sometimes. We have a way of getting what we want, which I've always been good at. Obviously, I wore high heels to my elementary school graduation. So headstrong with lipstick and a smile is what I'd say a Southern woman is.
Did you grow up in a family of storytellers?
Well, my dad's dad was a really good storyteller. And it was interesting because he was blind, but most people didn't know he was. And so everybody thought he knew who they were. They could say hello, Dub, and he could recognize their name. But he was a real character in cutting up, and he always had all kinds of stories and jokes. And my recollection is that he had several sets of stories and jokes. Some were his public jokes, some were his church jokes, and some were his Sunday school jokes. I guess Sunday school's not quite as religious as church or something, so he had to differentiate between which one was which. So he had both jokes and stories, yes, that he told. So I guess that's where I get a little bit of my storytelling.
All right, so how about our story and storyteller tonight? Thank you so much, Toby Fairley, for being on our Tin Roof Project here on Tales from the South. More can be found about Toby and her incredible designs at tobyfairley.com. Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle publication at aymag.com. Tonight's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, with additional support provided by the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau and the Oxford American, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. You can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Discover more at argentaartsdistrict.org. Our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle magazine at aymag.com. Additional support provided by the Winthrop Rockefeller Institute at livethelegacy.org. Also, the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau and Oxford American Magazine, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing at oxfordamerican.com. Writer accommodations provided by Robin Wood Bed and Breakfast. Studio time by Infrared Studio Productions. Graphics by Robin Steves at Studio B. Our executive producer and host is Paula Morrell. Our production engineer is Jay Jones. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive. And we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.